Tonight, I'd like to encourage us on remaining faithful. The days that we are living in are very different. Faithfulness is not very available in the days that we are in. I remember when them days, years back, before most of you were born, when I started working, you knew everybody in the organization because it's like everybody stayed. You understand? You got hired, the people you got there stayed, they grew old there, and we just stayed. I mean, because there are some people I think you can ask, probably my age mate, that if they have changed jobs a lot, maybe four times in their work life. Nowadays, if somebody is 2 years in the job, you're like, oh, you're stale. And I'm not judging anybody for changing jobs. I'm just saying that we are in a different age. And of course, there are things that will make that happen. But even in that, some of it could be lack of faithfulness. And tonight I'd like to speak about the blessing of faithfulness. There's a blessing in remaining faithful. Those of you who have pushed through to keep coming here every Wednesday, it has taken overcoming. Overcoming. Yeah, it takes overcoming. So it's a mark of faithfulness. And I looked at the description of the word faithful in the dictionary, and there's several words here that I think are relevant to what we are referring to tonight. To be faithful is to be loyal, is to be committed, is to be steadfast, true, dependable, reliable, and devoted. All of those are very strong words. The English professors here will tell you each one of those words, if you went deeper into it, it will open another Pandora of explanations. If you just take the word steadfast, I mean, it will give you a lot more definitions. So all of it talking about being faithful. So faithfulness is not actually measured in quantity or size. So it's not the much you do or the size of the object the task, but it's really measured by the solidity and the reliability. So how reliable are you? It's not how much you do, it's how reliable are you, whether it's in the little that is you are tasked to do. How reliable are you in your walk with God? It's not how much you do for God. How reliable are you in that which God has committed you to do? How reliable are you? A faithful person, I would say, has staying power. They have staying power. In spite of challenges, they are committed to the end. So you know when somebody is faithful, whatever you commit to them, they will run with it to the end. Will they experience obstacles? Absolutely. Will obstacles deter them from following through? Not necessarily. Why? Because they are committed. Let's look at one character of God in Deuteronomy 7:9. We can read, I'll probably use a lot of NLT today, but we could read, that's what New King James, yes. Let's use the NLT. This is what it says. Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Pause there. Keep that scripture there. Forgive me. Pastor Davis is not with us. As you can tell, I forgot. You know, I just went. I'm focused. Pastor is not with us, but he is very well. He had too much things to do, and he couldn't make it tonight. I think he had meetings that were going on and on, so he said, please. So he is well. He is in Nairobi, but he is well. Sorry, Pastor, if you are watching. Forgive me, but I have passed the message. So, yes. So this is what the Bible says. That understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. None of us will see 1,000 generations. That means throughout our lifetime, we can depend on God's faithfulness. He is faithful to 1,000 generations. And not only is he faithful, he lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. So that means our lifespan is well taken care of by God's faithfulness. He is committed not only to keep you, but to bless you and to lavish you with his love that encompasses everything that you will ever need for life and godliness. So that's how faithful God is. So when God is asking us to be faithful to him, he is setting the example for us. 1,000 generations. That's what God is. So God relates with us from a long angled view. That's why, remember, faithfulness is something you do and you do and you do and you're committed. It's not that I appear today, so I want to be counted with the faithful. You did appear today, but we want to see whether tomorrow you appear. So God relates with us from a long angled view. That's why he will say, I can assure you I'll be faithful to 1,000 generations. That should settle any worry or care we would want to carry for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and those others that we will only meet in heaven, isn't it? He wants us to enjoy a lifetime of his favor. That's why he says, I'll be faithful to you throughout all these generations. So go ahead and enjoy what I offer for you. It's for a lifetime. It's not short-lived. The key ingredient in any long-lasting relationship is faithfulness by both parties. God himself has vowed, he has covenanted to remain faithful. But then, for us to experience and to enjoy the lavishness of his unfailing love, then we must also commit to be faithful, as he says there, that and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. So there is a condition for us to experience the faithfulness of God and the blessings that comes with it. So it takes two parties, okay? The key ingredient in any long-lasting relationship is faithfulness. If one party engages in persistent unfaithfulness, the relationship terminates. That's how people divorce. Like some people I know, I'm not mentioning them. there was a level of unfaithfulness. And unfaithfulness does not have to be that they went out with them. Unfaithfulness is, there are a lot of things that can fall into it, isn't it? So that's how you find companies crumble. You started a company together, you worked at that company, and then at some point somebody started doing some funny things with the company and it crumbles down. That's how chamas crumble down. I don't belong to a chama, but I know chamas. Chamas that break down and they leave a lot of animosity. I know that. Why? Because there is a party that has not been faithful to that relationship. Listen to what David realized in Psalm 101 verse 6. It's still in the NLT. Psalms 101 verse 6. This is what David said. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. That's a wise man. He said, I will search for faithful people to be my companions. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. David was an influential king. He had power and authority. But even then, he realized it's not every man he can command. It's not every man he can command. So he decided, I am going to search for a special quality to build my team. Which is that quality? Faithful people. Mm-hmm. Why do you think David did that? I don't know about you, but I find it very frustrating to work with people who show up when they want to show up. Personally, I'm a timekeeper. It's literally, I think, in my system. But I probably took it after my father. My father was so stringent in timekeeping. And he liked entertaining, so he would invite people. I think for the bigger part of my growing up, I just thought every family gets people every 3 months, slaughter a couple of goats, have, cook. I mean, that's the life I grew up with. And he wasn't a wealthy man, but he was just a generous man. So he would invite people, and he knew even influential people, MPs, and he would say, we are starting at 1, and by 4, the party is over. He was very stringent on time. I think he probably understood that time is money. So he didn't have time to waste. So he would invite them, and that's Geshagi. But him, he lived in the city. So he would come do the party. By 4 p.m., anybody who has not appeared there, he would tell my mother, this part of the boozy belongs to MP, this one. This part of the boozy belongs to MP, and he would leave. That's it. He would go. And when they come, they're like, he's gone. So we all learned. If my father asked you to meet him at this time, you better be there at that time, because 5 minutes pass, he's left you. And I think I took after him. I still try working at it, because of course it has an element of impatience. But literally, I don't understand timekeeping, how people don't keep time. And I am not bashing anybody who came here late. This is a different message, sorry. You know, sometimes you can speak on something and it's misconstrued. I have a point to raise. Okay, so I said, it gets frustrating. I'm actually highlighting on why David would say that. I search for faithful people to be my companions, because this is it. He's a king. His work is urgent. He does not have time to waste. So he will look for people who say, when you call us, at the point you call us, we will show up on the day you call us, isn't it? That's how you build a nation, okay? So that's the point I was emphasizing. Please forgive me. I realize there is traffic jams and there is, so I'm not bashing you for coming late. Keep coming. So you're better. I don't know who was the wise man that said better late than never. So even that one works. So I've redeemed you. Okay. Yeah. Why do you think that David would do that? Because when you lack faithfulness, or let me say, unfaithful people show up or participate at convenience. Faithfulness does not take convenience. That's the point I want to highlight. Faithfulness does not take convenience. It doesn't. Faithfulness takes whatever it calls for. I'm encouraging us to remain faithful to the call of God and the purposes of God and to the areas where God has placed us. Faithfulness takes commitment. It doesn't take convenience. Every time you allow convenience to play in your calling, then you become unfaithful, because we have an enemy who is fighting against what we are called for. Listen to 1 Peter 4:10 in the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 4:10. It says, every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. So that clearly tells each one of us that we all have gifts. Every one of us has a gift. My gift may not be your gift. Pastor's gift is not necessarily Wendy's gift, isn't it? We are all gifted differently. But every one of us has a gift. And we read in the earlier scripture that it is required of us and demanded that we are faithful to the gift that has been graced upon us. So every believer, not some, every believer, all of us are required to serve in one area or another. That's just how it is. There aren't some special people who are called to do everything. It's every believer has their part. So it's important that we understand our part and we carry our part with so much faithfulness that we know that my area is fully covered, totally covered. So then I can dare say that every member of this church body ought to locate where they are supposed to be serving. Every one of them, every member of this church. If you're a believer, sweetheart Rose, if you're a believer, children's home children, all you girls, all you boys, every one of them, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you are a member of this church, you ought to know your area of calling, isn't it? Every believer, this is the word of God, it's not me. Every believer has received grace gifts. So we ought to understand and locate where we are supposed to be serving. Why? Why do I say everyone? Because others are holding brief for your position. If you're not serving somewhere, there's somebody else who is holding brief for you. And that means maybe they are overworked or over, isn't it? Yeah. If everybody understood, we are talking about faithfulness. If everybody is faithful as an every believer to work the gifts that they have been, that has been endowed on them, then every position should be occupied so that nobody is holding brief for any other. Because if you're missing in your position, you're missing on your blessing, okay? Yeah, and you would ask, no, but every position is held. Not every position. Why can't we have 4 choir teams? It's not wrong to have 4 praise and worship groups so that some people can also go to Malindi once in a while. Isn't it? Yeah. Professor Judy, would you not want to be taking a couple of days? I'm not sending people out of church. I'm only emphasizing that if every believer is exercising their gifts, the work becomes easy. And I think that was the structure where Mzee Kenyatta came up with Harambee. That when we all doing our part, the work becomes easier. And I believe that's where you find that the body is not experiencing the blessing as it should, because some people never serve. Sorry, Pastor will come to pacify it, but I just speak what is in my heart. You understand? Everybody should be, majority of the church body should be faithfully serving in the kingdom of God. That's the way it was supposed to be. Yeah, the 12 disciples were all involved. The people, the early church, everybody was involved. You read the book of Acts. Everybody was involved in one way or the other. They weren't spectators. Okay? Yeah, so that's what we are going to believe. Okay? So everyone, why do I emphasize that? Because everyone could give a reason why they are not serving. Everyone. I could give a reason and say, at my age, I don't like going home before after 6 p.m. I know people my age who say so. They don't like going home after 6 p.m., so they can't, there are meetings they can't attend. That's an excuse, but it could be a genuine reason for them. Or it could be just a reason. You know, everybody could give a reason. And it can sound justified, Professor. It's very easy at our age to feel in the afternoon you want a nap. I'm telling you the truth. When you all want to go to the field to do football, we are like we have just eaten a nice meal, just 2 hours nap. But I was talking to Mrs. Kabaji when we were coming in, and I don't know how this discussion came up, and we told ourselves, we are so glad that we have things that test or exercise our mind. Because sleeping 2 hours every day, you know what is happening? Your mind will shrink faster. Uh-huh, shrink faster. But when you're using your mind, it's growing. It's becoming ageless. So you everybody can have a reason. But the question is, where is your focus? Because hindrances appear to everybody. Everybody has a reason not to do what they do. Yeah, everybody has a reason not to do what they need to do. So the question is, if it's not us that will serve this ministry where God has called us, who will? That's the question I ask myself. If I don't, who will? If I come up with my reason, who will? Because everybody has a reason. Let's look at some reasons that Moses gave. Moses, the humblest man on earth, when he was called by God, he had enough reasons. Okay? Go to Exodus. I was reading, I borrowed these points that I'm giving from reading the Bible in a year. The composer of the version that I'm reading, I found him give these excuses, and I thought they were very good for what we are talking about. So in Exodus 3, verse 11 and 12, remember when God called Moses, and this is how Moses responded. He said, but Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" How did Moses react? "Who am I? I am not the right person." So everybody can say, "I'm not the right person." I can tell you 100%. When Pastor started telling me, "Ruth, I am so busy, hold the prayer," I said, "Oh, Pastor, no, not me. I'll be lying to you if I say." I say, "Oh, yes, Pastor, I've been looking for this opportunity." No, I did not. I had an excuse by Moses. Like Moses, I said, no, please. I probably even suggested a few names. I did. I suggested a few names. I was like Moses. He said, "I'm not the right person." Why? He felt inadequate. We all feel inadequate in one way. So serving God is not done because you are adequate. It's done because it has to be done, and God is calling you. Let's look at how God responded to him in verse 12. God said in verse 12, God answered, "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." So the comfort that God gave Moses there is that, "I know you are inadequate." Actually, I'm adding, "I'm glad you are inadequate, because you won't say your things. I will be with you. So God comforted him by telling him, when I call you to do my work, I am the one who will guide you. I will be with you. Okay? That's reason number one. I am not the right person. Number two, I am not ready yet. Let's go to verse 13 of that Exodus. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? You know what he is saying? He is saying, I'm really not ready yet because I am ill-informed. I don't know what to tell the people. Standing and putting your foot forward to do the work of God, nobody goes knowing everything, isn't it? Nobody goes knowing everything. And that's what Moses was saying. I am so ill-informed, or I'm not even knowledgeable. This is not my area, please. Put me in the back office. I will be a follower. But please don't, no, not me. Look at what God said to him. 14, God replied to Moses. He said, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent you. So even when you feel ill-informed, if you depend on the word of God, it always brings out the answer because it is his word that we are representing. Reason number three, let's read at chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Moses protested again. Moses has not given in. He's looking for all the excuses. Moses protested again. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? What is Moses saying here? He is saying, the people will question my ability. Has your ability ever been questioned in the work of God? Oh, I'm telling you, some you know, many you don't know. I'm telling you, you engage in the work of God. You think everybody is congratulating you? No, they will think, we are like our pastor. I know you don't say that to me, but it can happen. It can happen. I remember one time, God forgive that man, I love him. He asked me a question. That time I used to be at the seat behind Pastor Carla. He asked me a question that wounded me because it's like you stand there like a tree. What do you do there? Literally. Oh, I forgive him. But this is the thing. People will question your ability. But this is it. I'm telling you, faithfulness does not mean you are not encountering hindrances. You are encountering tests and hindrances. So Moses was saying that these people will question my ability. Let's read through, go to verse 2. Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied, go on. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. So what was God showing him? He was saying that it's my ability. The very thing that you're holding in your hand that just looks like a stick, I can use it miraculously. Because when my ability is poured upon you, it can go beyond anybody's expectation. So when we are being asked to serve in the kingdom of God, we are not being asked to use our ability because our ability is too little or actually is non-existence in the context of serving in the kingdom of God. All God wants is us to yield and become faithful. And then whatever is required, he will give empowering us with. Okay? So number three, I said is, he said I might fail. Number four, let's go to verse 10 of chapter 4. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with my words. I never have been. and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. That sounds like me. What was Moses saying? He was saying, I can't speak well. I lack communication skills. Most people are hindered from serving God because they think, I can't speak the right words. I can't explain it correctly. I don't have the right pronunciation. My R's and my L's get mixed up. I got over that. I'm telling you. I really did. I realized, why are we bothering? I don't care. My R's and my L's. Everybody's understanding this thing. You understand? I mean, the enemy can use anything. He will tell you, you don't have the right pronunciation. Sometimes you shout too much. Sometimes you speak too fast. I mean, that's what Moses was saying. I am not a good communicator. And let's read verse 12 and see what the Lord told him. Did we read 11? Let's read 11. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Isn't that freeing? That even if I don't pronounce the words correctly, it's not upon me, it's upon the Lord. He's the one who makes people's mouth. He's the one who decides how they speak. You understand? So Moses was freed. He was told, it's not really about your communication skills. It's about your faithfulness. It's about your faithfulness. Okay? So God is the one who decides how people speak. And the fifth one is, the fifth excuse that Moses gave. We'll read it in verse 13 of that Exodus 4. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. He is just tenacious. He just does not want to do this thing. The most humble man on earth. This is the journey he took the Lord. And let's read verse 14. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. He said, all right. He said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. And we won't read the rest of it for sake of time. But basically, when Moses said someone else will do it, which is what a lot of Christians do. They say someone else will do it. If Dan is not there, we don't know what will happen, who will lead the praise. And people just, they just freeze and they say someone else will do it. Okay? But even though this was not God's best, he did send help to him. He said, I will send your brother Aaron. He will come and help you. But that was not God's original plan. But because he really wants to help us, he will still help. He will still send help. So the key thing is that as you stick with it, and if you read the book of Exodus through and through, you realize Moses reached a point he took ownership. He realized, I'm it. I'm the man. The original plan of God still became a reality. But this is what was the strength of Moses. He remained faithful. Once he accepted it, he remained faithful. And in faithfulness, that's where you're developed. So even the skills you didn't have are developed. The courage you didn't have, you start having it. Why? Because faithfulness comes together with the blessing. And the blessing of God, it addeth no sorrow, and it will make your life rich. So then I can say that the way to develop what you lack is through practicing. Why? The biggest part of learning, even in schools, is in the doing, is not in the knowing. Many people know, But if you don't do, you never become faithful, or you will never really learn. Because the learning is in the doing. That's why James will tell us that don't only be a hearer of the word of God. Be a doer of the word. Because in the doing, you start seeing the manifestation of that word, and then it encourages you to even learn more and read more, because you can see the fruit of what you're doing. Okay? So the faithful eventually become experts in their profession. The more you are faithful, the more you are developed. The more you develop, you start becoming an expert. It's the same principle even in the world. How do people become professors? How do people become professors? They keep at it. Nobody finishes form four and they are called professor so and so. It's a journey. Could be a grueling journey. That's how most of us are not. Because it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes giving yourself, it takes just a separation to become. Okay? This is what, without even reading those scriptures for sake of time. You know the parable of the servants. In Matthew 25, 19 to 30, you can read in your own time. But basically, in a nutshell, it's talking about the master, how the master gave his stewards the talents. There was the 5 talent, the 2 talent, and the 1 talent. And we know that story very well. But this is what the master says to the 2 people. The stewards, the one who had the 5 doubled it. The one who had the 2 doubled it. And the master said to them, he said, the master was full of praise to the ones who doubled and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. The key word is faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. And then it says, let's celebrate. Celebration, blessing comes at the end of faithfulness. Many people want to start with a celebration. You pray and you want manifestation right there. You've done nothing. You have not been proven. You have not engaged in what it requires, but you're only waiting for the celebration. But this here tells us that to the faithful, there is a blessing that comes at the tail end. And it's a celebration. Why? Because faithfulness is a demonstration of belief. If there is an area you are unfaithful in, you don't believe it. People who are unfaithful in their marriages, they don't believe in that relationship. You cannot believe in a relationship and be faithful to your partner. You can't. You don't believe in it. So faithfulness is a demonstration of belief. The one servant who had 1 talent, the Bible says, he buried it. And what does he say? That he had no faith in his master. He actually accused the master. He said, I knew you were a mean man. You can't believe in a person you think he's mean, can you? You can't. So unfaithfulness is unbelief. Anybody who is not faithful in what they are tasked to do, they don't believe in the task that they are handling. They are doing it for the sake of doing. And the doing it for the sake of doing does not bring blessing. Because basically, you're just doing it for people. You're not doing it for God. The Lord does not reward, I say it again, He does not reward quantity or size. He rewards what you're tasked with. He rewards faithfulness with what He tasked you to do. Why? Because God already knows what you can do. His evaluation is not based on everybody, how everybody did. His evaluation is, how did you do based on what He knows you are capable of doing? He is a fair God. He does not judge me on the ability of Pastor Davis. He won't. He will judge me on my own ability. He will judge you. He will never judge me as a musician. He will be so unfair. literally unfair, literally, most unfair. He won't. But he can judge me on making noise in worship. Because I'm capable. It is true. I am. Everybody is capable of worshiping. Everybody is capable of singing, but not in the music. You understand? If I knew the terminology, I'll explain. But to me, there is music and there is singing. Everybody can sing to the Lord, otherwise he would not have said it. But everybody cannot make music for the Lord. Okay? So everybody is judged on according to the capability that he knows he has given you. All right, I want us to look at the blessing of faithfulness. Psalm 18, 25 to 35. Psalm 18. We'll just read them through. Psalm 18, 25 to 35. It's I titled it the blessing of faithfulness. So let's read those scriptures and we'll be picking the blessings there. This is what it says. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Right there. If you're faithful, we started by Deuteronomy 7 where we saw that God says he's a covenant keeper who is faithful to 1,000 generations. So to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the wicked, you show yourself hostile. To rescue the humble, but you humiliate the... You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. You light a lamp for me. The Lord, my God, lights up my darkness. Can you see the benefits of faithfulness? When the world is so dark as it is, and it's getting darker, you have the promise of your life being lighted up by the word of God. Why? Because God is faithful. It's the blessing of the faithful. Those who will stay faithful to God, your life will never be darkened. It cannot. You will not experience darkness. Challenges will come, but there will always be a way out. Why? Because you have remained true and faithful to your life as a Christian. Move on. In your strength, I can crush an army. That's how we win. With my God, I can scale any wall. That means there is nothing too high for you, and there is nothing too big for you. It doesn't matter in what magnitude the enemy comes at you. You have the victory because he will help you through. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? That's what faithfulness is. I think I said, faithfulness is measured by solidity. He's solid. He's a solid rock. That means he is dependable. He is trustworthy. It does not matter the magnitude of your issues. You bring them to God, they are sorted. Move on, please. For God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as a sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. Anybody interested in becoming great? Anybody? We are done. Anybody interested in becoming great, remain faithful to the Lord. Those are blessings that are tied to faithfulness. They don't come to just anybody anyhow. Yeah, you don't collect them. No, they are bestowed. And those blessings are bestowed to those people who are, they've made up their mind. I know the world is wicked. I know the trappings are many. I know the temptations come from east, west, north, and south. I know there are lurings and wooings of every kind. But I've made up my mind. I'm remaining faithful to my God. I am remaining faithful to my God. I will serve my God all the days of my life. The Bible says in the book of Acts that David, after he had served his generation, Psalms 107:5 and 45, one generation shall load your works to the next generation. So how do you load the works of God that you have not done? So we have to remain faithful in the service of our God and in the honor of our God and in the lifestyles that we live, that we are honoring our God, we are faithful to the life of Christianity, then we can be enjoying the benefits that come with it. My final scripture is Proverbs 28:20. So what we have seen in those scriptures is that faithfulness attracts God's help in every area. So we are not without a help. Proverbs 28:20 in the Amplified, it says, a faithful, right-minded man will abound in blessings. Isn't that wonderful? You will abound in blessings. So faithfulness attracts blessings. What is to be right-minded? It's a person who upholds the principles of their belief system. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to uphold the principles of what we believe. So faithfulness is upholding the principles of our belief system. We know this is who we are. This is how we live. This is how we serve. This is what we are committed to. It does not matter what comes our way. Amen. So are you going to remain faithful? Let's stand up and just thank our God for his faithfulness. We want to bless our God. There are blessings that are tied to your faithfulness. So don't put a deadline to how long you are going to stand. Just make up your mind. I'm going to stand for as long as God said he himself is faithful to 1,000 generations. That means he expects us to be faithful to him all through our lifespan. In Jesus' name. Just thank the Lord for his faithfulness, that we can pray a bit in tongues, just committing ourselves to the Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness in this church, oh God. Thank you for your faithfulness to our children. Thank you for your faithfulness, oh Lord. Oh, we thank you tonight. Oh, for your commitment to be faithful to us and to lavish us with your blessings for all through our lifespan. Thank you, Lord our God, for to the faithful you show yourself faithful. We bless your name tonight. Let's just pray in tongues a couple of minutes, then we pray. Kayenda shate saraba areba boshende ribaba si baba tarabashande si baba tarabashande ribaba sa aremande rebashata. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. We bless you, our God. Oh, we bless you. You've been so good to us. You've been so gracious to us. You've been so kind to us, our God. You have poured your mercies upon us over and over and over. Lord, tonight we present ourselves, O God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, our God, that we may be of service to your kingdom, O God, because we recognize the urgency of the hour that we are living in, O God. The world gets darker, the things become so blurred, O God. It's only those that will make up their mind and stay committed to the purposes of God that will be able to escape the thick darkness. Oh, yes, the that is covering the world. This evening, oh God, we pray over this congregation. We pray for ourselves and every congregant of Victory Faith Church, oh God, that we are alert, we are aware, we are cognizant of the hour that we are living in, oh God. And we dedicate ourselves to the Master. We dedicate ourselves to your use. We dedicate ourselves to serve you. We dedicate ourselves to serve one another. Lord our God, we dedicate ourselves to live lives that are pure and honorable. Lives that represent the kingdom of our God. The Bible has reminded us tonight, oh God, of the many benefits that are available to the faithful. And so we call ourselves faithful stewards of the word of God. We are not only hearers of the word of God, but we are faithful to do the word of God. We are faithful not to question the authenticity of the instructions of the Holy Spirit. We are alert, oh God. We are alert of the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We call ourselves a people that hear. We hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of the shepherd. And we are able to identify the voices of strangers because we have faithfully followed the voice of the shepherd. We know it authentically. And therefore, we are not lured into the darkness that is in the world. But we are alert, oh Lord, to the brightness of your light. For the Bible says that the path of the righteous is like a light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So Lord, as we walk and wait for your return, Father, we want to be found faithful. Faithful stewards of what you have committed to us, oh God. Not only in serving in this house, but in serving in our homes, in serving our communities, in serving in our offices, oh God. May out of this congregation, God, come out in people of integrity, that they are off in their offices, they are known as the people who represent the character of integrity. May we be known as those who represent the kingdom of God. May we be known as those who do not pollute ourselves with the company of those we keep. May we be known as those who are forthright in calling wrong wrong and in standing for the right and the truth of the word of God. We are at that time, oh God, where the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and faith requires faithfulness. So in the name of Jesus, we declare, oh God, just a mark of faithfulness to be bestowed upon the congregation of Victory Faith Church, that we are able to see by the Spirit, to hear by the Spirit, and to be able, Father, to give ourselves to do whatever it takes to advance your will, even in this house. So we pray for those that are already in the service of the house of God, that they are strong in the Lord and in the power of their might. That even though much more is required of them, that much more grace is upon them. That none of them is thinking of pulling out, but they are looking at ways that they can escalate their service. That we are looking for ways, oh God, that we can do much more. Because the Bible tells us that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Thank you that you have told us you are the one to strengthen us. You will help us, oh God. You will give us the skills. You will give us the abilities. You will give us the words. You will give us the power. You will give us what it takes, oh God, to represent your kingdom in our generation. We will carry the mantle of the work of the kingdom of God with understanding and sacrifice, oh God. For the kingdom of God is received by the tenacious. The Bible says that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So, Lord, we enforce what you have bestowed upon us. By faith, receiving the help of the Holy Spirit, we refuse to retract, and we advance. We call ourselves those that advance. We advance in our obedience. We advance in our giving. We advance in our service. We advance in our commitment. We advance upon all in our prayer time, oh God, that we can engage in the presence of the Lord at a level where we know without a shadow of turning that we are being lifted into the glories of the age that we are living in, oh God. So, Father, we thank you tonight. Help us, Holy Spirit of God. Help us. Help us to remain faithful to one another. We declare it over the marriages in this church, oh God, that husbands and wives remain faithful to each other. That children remain faithful to their parents, and parents remain faithful to their children. In the name of Jesus, we declare, O Lord our God, just a cleansing of your by your word of this congregation, God, that we may start experiencing the fruitfulness of the life of faithfulness, because we have made up our mind. The Bible says that if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. There is so much of your good that is already available to us, as the word will say that you've already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And therefore, as we faithfully pursue you, our God, then the release of your benefits upon us, oh God, are unlimited. We engage in the unlimited life, the surpassing greatness of your power that works within us, oh God, is causing our lives to be catapulted to levels of your graces and of your glory, that we are able to walk in tandem with you every minute and every hour and every day. Father, we commit ourselves to what you've called us to walk in. Each one of us understanding our call and going beyond what you have even showed us, that we may serve you in simplicity, but in strength, even as you have given us. We bless you tonight. We bless your name. We bless the Holy Spirit of God that is our aid. The Bible calls him our helper. We depend on him, and we thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit, helping us to just become what you have purposed us to be. We thank you. We bless our pastors tonight. Thank you for Pastor Carla. Thank you for Pastor Davis and his wife. Thank you for the leadership of this ministry, Lord. Thank you for the support teams of this ministry. Thank you for everybody, oh Lord our God, in their little way, in their literal way, in whichever they participate in, whether it's in giving, whether it's in showing up, whatever it is that your people do towards knowing you more, oh God, may you just crown it with more understanding, that we may walk even farther and go deeper and go the full length with you, even as we wait for the revelation of your day of coming. We bless you and we honor your holy name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.